This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Every religion, they have great challenge. After its foundation and after the main prophets and messengers, they have great challenge. Once the people start carrying them and teaching them, two dangers for every religion is very, very clear. One is when the people add to the religion something from their own culture, from their own understanding, or they remove something from the religion. So the religion is not conveyed to the people as pure as it was revealed, always corrupted with some mixing ideas and thoughts, something taken away, misinterpretation people do. Second thing is when people don't make religion relevant to the people's time and space. So when you do this, then religion actually loses its importance, because people have question regard to that time and space. And if you don't answer them, then the people have no need for the religion. So these two problems always happen in the religion. In Islam, from very beginning, the way the Prophet ﷺ taught the people, he made an arrangement that the religion remains as pure as possible, to emphasize that religion is based on the Quran and Sunnah, and he praised the people who will come among the ulama, and they will make effort to purify the religion from whatever has been attached to it, making it clear, always coming back to the Quran and Sunnah. And that's what Quran said, that whenever you dispute, come back to the Quran and Sunnah. So this one. Second thing is that whenever Islam is in a new era, new space, new challenges, among the ulama there should be people who should answer those questions and needs of the community in the light of the new challenges. So in Islam, always will be ulama who will purify the religion and also who will make religion more relevant to the time and the society. That is very, very important. So like for example, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmullah, his time, great challenge was that Abbasid Empire is newly established. Muslims need law, detailed law, things, closes properly. If they don't have good mind, what will happen is then the Muslims will need to borrow from Roman law. Abu Hanifa, stands, makes effort, and many people around him, and he really, makes details of Islamic law very clearly. So then Muslims become independent, in all those areas, and they don't need to borrow from anywhere else. Similarly, Mu'tazila, these people, they brought their own reasoning to the religion, and they start testing things in the religion and with their own mind. So what actually suits their mind, they accept. Whatever is not acceptable to their mind, they reject. So the Quranic teaching and teaching of the Prophet becomes subject to the reasoning of Mu'tazila. Many things from the religion has been rejected because it is not good to their reasoning. And many new things were introduced to religion because it makes more sense to them. So then there are ulama who came, faced the challenge, answered their questions. People like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and then Abu al-Hasan Ashari, Abu Mansur al-Maturidi, people like them. Then there are time when Greek philosophy, corrupted the mind of people, occupied so much that people did not actually like anything in the religion if it is not acceptable to Greek philosophy. Then people like Ghazali, and then after that Ibn Taymiyyah, they came and they really criticized Greek philosophy very strongly, with scholarly arguments, that how weak it is in its argument. So in every time they have been making effort to purify the religion and to answer the questions of their time. We live now in our time. It is not right for us to do same thing what Abu Hanifa has been doing. Because what Abu Hanifa did, that was best for his time. But we don't have the same questions necessarily. It is not for us to copy Ghazali or Razi or Ibn Taymiyyah. They understood their time and space and they did the best. What we need to do is really, we have to learn the Quran and Sunnah, make effort to purify the religion. Second thing, we have to learn from the history of these people, that how they understood the questions of that time and how they made effort to address those questions. The way we did, we need also to, we have, but not the same question, because we have different questions. what many ulama do mistake really, they keep discussing the same questions. So like Ahmad Hanbal Rahmullah, he discussed the question of whether Quran is created or not, because that was a question put by Mu'tazila. He answered. Now you will see in many madrasas, many ulama, they keep teach the same thing about the creation of the Quran. This question now does not arise. Nobody has this question. You have to teach the question, then answer them. It is not the question of the time. People discuss about Greek philosophy. Now that philosophy is not there. Actually, there are more questions coming from science. More questions now coming from the history, Islamic history. More questions from the biography of the Prophet. That why Prophet ﷺ killed all people from Banu Qurayza. Why the Prophet ﷺ married Aisha when she was so young. Why he has so many wives. So there's these questions coming. The questions come really from science, the theory of evolution. And you know, children believe in that evolution theory. It is scientific theory in many, many ways. So we need really to understand. The first thing we need to do is study the Quran Sunnah properly. And then after that, next thing, and purify the religion. Second thing is to study the life of these people, Muslim reformers, how they reform in that time, how they address the questions of that time. Now we need to know the question of our time, not the same question. Our time, and then they answer them in a way which can make the mind content, which can make people to remain Islam, which can remove the doubts from the hearts of other people. But you only learn this thing once, and really we need people. Like you live in the West, so you know your mind should not be same like an Indian person. Indian people have different questions. You think in my society, what Muslims need here, what non-Muslims also need. How can I teach them about Islam? So then confusion goes away. Then misunderstanding is removed from their mind. We need to do this. So this you learn from this history. But what is problem is many people start copying the history. Don't copy it. Okay, space and time never repeated. So those questions are not going to be repeated. But you can learn from that history. That if Ghazali understands the question of his time, he answers. Ibn Taymiyyah understands that question of his time and he addresses those questions. Let me understand the questions of my time. What are the things really that occupy the mind of the people in my time? You know, and create doubts in their mind, misunderstand their mind, how they are influenced by Orientalists, how they are influenced by Western writers, how they are influenced by science in all these new philosophies, and they make a doubt about Islam. Let me study that. And let me answer these questions, you know, in the light of the Quran Sunnah, so the people, you know, their belief, their faith in Islam becomes much stronger. We need in every generation ulama like that, people like that. So in this course, inshallah, that's what I'm going to teach, that how the ulama, reformers in different centuries, different time, you know, they have been really doing the work of reform, you know, in a way they kept Islam from being corrupted. They saved Islam from being corrupted, you know, and then how can we learn a lesson from their lives and from, you know, the achievements that they had, you know, during their life.